Welcome to Dodgers Daily. Casey Porter here. So glad that you decided to tune in. Hey, it was a great night last night to be a Dodger. It's a great day every day to be a Dodger, but last night was a fun game to watch. Of course, it took the Dodgers a while to get going, but once they did, Shohei Ohtani, wow, what a bomb. James Albin, super excited about that. Freddie Freeman, he's back. It was like, oh my gosh, where's Freddie Freeman at? Now, definitely, he's back. And then the bullpen. How about that bullpen? And James Paxton, we talked many different times. Of course, he had the outing last time out with the 8 walks, and it went sideways on him. But talked many different times how we felt like he was going to be a good fit for the Dodgers, and he did a good job last night. So there is a lot to get into from last night's game. Of course, it took the Dodgers a while to get going. It took them all the way to the sixth inning before they even scored, and they were down 1-0 at that point. And the way that the weekend went, I'm sure there was a little bit, as far as Dodger land goes, a little bit of doubt creeping in at that point, but especially when Freddie Freeman grounded out to start the inning off, and then Will Smith grounded out, then Tio Hernandez. Hey, Tio Hernandez has had a knack to just kind of come up with one of those little pesky hits. If for the other team, you're like, wow, I didn't see that coming from him, that type of deal. So he singles on a ball to center field, and it's been hits like that where he just kind of let the ball get deep, stayed inside of it, and just served one either into right field or center field, maybe even left field. But Tio Hernandez got it started. Kike Hernandez with a huge, huge pinch hit. I must say, hey, with the platoons, and then James Albin, not pinch hit, but Kike Hernandez with a big single. I was jumping ahead of myself to James Albin. The platoon and the way that the roster was used last night definitely worked, with Kike Hernandez getting a big hit and then James Albin getting a big pinch hit there in the eighth inning. So the Dodgers tie it up. And then, hey, the thing about it is whenever you're trying to come back, of course, it was only a one-run lead, but your bullpen's got to keep it right there. The Dodgers continue to string zero after zero, gave up just the single run in the second inning, and then did not give up a single run for the rest of the game. And I'll tell you what, when you give this Dodgers offense, even last night wasn't an explosion by any stretch of the imagination, but if you give this Dodgers offense 7 innings in a row to win a game, typically speaking, they're going to do it. Just simply too many weapons for the Dodgers, and they absolutely did that. As the eighth inning came around, hey, Tio Hernandez right in the middle of things again. Don't forget about Teoscar Hernandez last night. He was in the middle of the action offensively. Tio Hernandez leads the inning off with a walk, and how many times does that leadoff walk come back to roost and score? I've heard percentages on it before. I've heard upwards to 80%. I don't believe that, but hey, just know that if you walk, they call them walk the leadoff lady, walk the leading lady, when you do that, that is good things, typically speaking, don't happen. And then how about this? Generating offense. So Tio Hernandez had a single up the middle. He had a walk. Then he stole a base. Don't forget the stolen base right in front of the James Altman double. And that James Altman double was a sight for sore eyes, if you will, because it was just simply a great at bat. James Altman, he got 5 fastballs in a row. And then the thing about that is they tried to attack him up and in. He did a great job. And if you go back to my interview with James Altman, one of the things he was really working on was getting to that pitch up and in, that fastball that he saw in that at bat. So, hey, the Nats, they have that scouting report, right? So they tried to attack James Altman up and in. He took one for a ball. He fouled one off, and he just stayed alive until he got a splitter that was basically center cut in the bottom of the zone. And when you're a lefty and you have that slight uppercut to your swing, that pitch that is in the bottom of the zone is the one that you're typically speaking going to hit the best. It's the exact opposite reason as to why the pitch up and in is the hardest one to hit. Of course, up and in is hard to hit for anybody. But James Altman worked himself into a count to where he got a very hittable splitter. And when he got it, he absolutely did not miss it. Put a crooked number on the board for the Dodgers. And that gave them the lead 2-1, one in which they would not give up. Added an insurance run in the ninth inning on a very, very, very impressive Shohei Ohtani home run. Hey, every once in a while, Shohei Ohtani does stuff. It will do something that you go, hey, you know what? I'm not sure there's any other human being on earth that can do that. That's the kind of, and we get the pleasure and the honor to watch his kind of talent every single day. And he's an awesome young man. It, you know, getting a Shohei Ohtani, we knew it was a big deal. We knew it was awesome. We knew all that. I'm just going to tell you, as excited, and I think if you go back to the live show that we did here in Dodgers Daily right after they signed Shohei Ohtani, as excited as I was that day, it has exceeded all of my expectations. He has been that, from a baseball perspective, he has been that enjoyable to watch. It is just an absolute joy to get to see the skills that young man has that many, if not most, or maybe nobody else that walks the face of the earth has. I mean, he just does not have, he just can do things. And then this is the same setup as James Albin. He spit on a four-seam fastball. Then he got a splitter. His was a little bit further up in the zone, but it was center cut again. So back-to-back huge hits off of the splitter after laying off the inside. And, of course, this one was a little bit lower to Shohei Ohtani, but both to James Albin and Shohei Ohtani, inside fastballs to Albin up in the zone, to Ohtani down the zone. Does a good job laying off, gets to that splitter, that a center cut, and just absolutely hammers that ball to right field. That was a whole lot of fun to watch. So getting into some of the individual performances, Freddie Freeman. We talked about Freddie Freeman. He didn't have hits for like three games in a row, and it was like, man, what's going on? I mean, this dude's like one of the greatest hitters of all time. Well, no more. Okay, Freddie Freeman now has three multi-hit games in a row. And the Nats, it was interesting to see their pitch sequencing. We talked about the fastball to get to the splitter, fastballs in the inner half. Well, they threw Freddie Freeman the exact same pitch back-to-back to Freddie Freeman. And on the second one, Freddie Freeman knew what to do with it. If you throw the same pitch to Freddie Freeman back-to-back, he is going to absolutely hammer that second one. And that's exactly what he did. Multi-hit games and three games in a row. He's now... he has multi-hits in three games in a row, and in that span, or actually on the season, he's hitting 300, OPS 829. So the world is round again. It is rotating on its axis again. Freddie Freeman is gathering multi-hit games back-to-back, so that is absolutely an awesome thing to see. And boy, I tell you what, when him and Ohtani at the top of the lineup, then you have James Albin and Tio Hernandez doing what they did at the bottom. I know you only scored four runs, but again, that makes for an offense that has a little bit more balance to it, and an offense that is winning games on the road right now at Washington, which is a lot of fun because, hey, it's kind of weird how that schedule's set up where the Dodgers play the Nats at home and they play them on the road, and it's so close back-to-back. So it'd be kind of interesting to see, you know, when you play a team and then you don't play them for a while, which team has gotten better and which team has digressed in that period since they've seen each other. Well, you don't get that time with the Nats because, I mean, they're playing each other in really close segments back-to-back here. But, hey, James Paxton, let's get to him. He sat 93.4, which, hey, that's not like, you know, a million miles an hour or anything. But he was very, very, very heavy four-seam, almost 60% of the time he threw his fastball. Now, what's the significance to that? I know in his last outing he had eight walks. I know he had three walks this outing, but what that does is it gives you margin for error. Because now if you look at what he did with the secondaries, he did not throw his secondaries in the zone for strikes very much. Because when you're throwing your fastball for a strike 61% of the time and the exit velos are averaging, you know, in the 80s, that is a setup to where you have a ton of margin for error because your entire arsenal, I mean, I don't really even know a pitcher whose arsenal doesn't orbit around their fastball, meaning, hey, we got to establish the fastball, we tunnel everything off of it, so when the fastball is getting hit or whenever it's not getting located properly, that makes it to where you have to be perfect with your secondaries. And yeah, you might go out every now and then and be perfect with your secondaries, but it's not going to be a consistent thing. And again, he went 4.2, 4 2/3 innings, gave up just one run. So how about Michael Grove? Michael Grove, I almost hate to even cover it because it seems like I do the next outing. It's like it jinxes him, but we're going to go ahead and do it. We're going to go ahead and challenge them baseball gods this morning, right? Fifth scoreless outing in a row for Michael Grove. And the thing about it last night is usually he's an elite strike thrower. I've mentioned that several different times about him. Last night, he didn't throw as many strikes as he normally does, and he hung a couple of pitches. But you know what? He's had so much bad luck in the past. I know his FIP numbers and underlying metrics in the past have always been lower than his actual ERA. So he's due some good luck, to be honest with you. So don't ever apologize for maybe not having your A stuff or maybe hanging a pitch or two and getting away with it, because I assure you, that's just payback for times to where you made good pitches and gave up hits. So Michael Grove, fifth scoreless outing in a row. That spans 7 1/3 innings. And in that span, he has 11 Ks, just 3 walks, and has given up just 1 hit. So Michael Grove has done a fantastic job. And I'll tell you what, it's consistency. He knows that he's a reliever. He knows he's going to come in somewhere in the middle of a game. He knows which day it's likely going to be. And because of that, he can plan his whole entire world. He can plan his schedule from day to day around when he's going to pitch, how he's going to pitch, and what the Dodgers are going to do with him. And also, when you have a guy that has the amount of versatility of Michael Grove, and with all the injuries we've seen on this pitching staff, Bobby Miller, Emmett Sheehan, Kyle Hurt, all these guys, okay? You need guys like Ryan Yarbrough and Michael Grove that can give you multiple innings. So his versatility, and then also his being able to get outs in the last 5 outings, very valuable for the Dodgers. I hope they continue to give him consistency, and obviously I hope Michael Grove continues to hold up his end of the part like he has as of late. Alex Vesia, never boring when he goes to the mound, no doubt about it. You hear that long fly ball and you're, oh my gosh, it's like you're just never totally comfortable. I get it when he goes out on the mound, but actually Alex Vesia, at the end of last year from July on, he was one of the best relief pitchers in the game. He has been very, very effective. I know the whip doesn't look good. Maybe some of the underlying metrics don't look good. Bottom line is, the major leagues is a results-based organization. It's results-based. And the results, bottom line, for Alex Vesia have been good. So how good has he been? From the beginning of July last year through last night's game, including the playoffs and spring training, Alex Vesia has thrown 50 innings and he's given up just 13 runs. Again, going all the way back to July, 50 innings, given up just 13 runs. So from the beginning of July in all of his action, spring training and the playoffs, his ERA has been 2.34. So I know that sounds weird, and I know there are people out there that Alex Vesia makes nervous. I'm one of them. But bottom line is, I'm going to say it again, the major leagues, it's all about results, and Alex Vesia has given up the results. How about Daniel Hudson? Said all offseason, been hearing birdies flying around that Daniel Hudson was going to play a huge role for this team. He got his 5th hold of the season. I think they started that stat about 10 years ago. So you have saves and you have holds now. Daniel Hudson got his 5th hold of the season, moved his ERA down to 2.45 and his whip down to 0.73. So not only has Daniel Hudson been good, he's also been efficient. He's starting to land that slider. Did you see that last night? We talked many different times that the sequencing has been elite. He actually started landing that slider last night. So when you see him land that slider, you already know the sequencing is awesome. When he starts when the execution follows behind that sequencing, Daniel Hudson is going to be fantastic. So Hudson has allowed single runs in just 3 of his outings. And check this out. Despite the fact that he hasn't always located his slider, because he's such a professional, he has figured out other ways to get the ball in the zone without getting hurt. And because of that, he has 14 strikeouts on the year and just 1 walk. That's called being a big-time pro right there. That's why the Dodgers love these veteran-type guys, because you get that type of professional output from guys like Daniel Hudson. Fastball was good. It touched 96.4 last night. And if you look at the metrics on that fastball, not only does it have good velo, it doesn't get hit a lot. So Daniel Hudson had a really nice outing. And then Evan Phillips is like, what in the world is going on? He walks three guys. Hey, I will tell you what's going on is he was showing you that he's actually human. I mean, there are some times to where I'm like, man, is Evan Phillips like a cyborg or something? I mean, is he like a robot? I mean, this guy, like, when you look at all the volatility, I actually tweeted out how volatile relief pitching is, and all the guys that are doing good, all the guys that are doing bad, it's impossible to predict. Just because you pay money for a guy that has a big name doesn't mean that they're going to have a good year at all. Within all of that, all the volatility of bullpen arms, Evan Phillips just continues to be a rock. I mean, just it seems like every night he goes out like a robot and just is fantastic. Not last night. Went out, walked three guys, walked the bases loaded, and then, man, with the bases loaded, he threw a fastball and two sliders to end the game. So Evan Phillips showed just how human he is, and then he turned right back around and showed just how elite he is as well. So, hey, we've got a lot of action to get to down on the farm. Again, it was another really nice victory for the Dodgers last night, a 4-1 victory, and always the one win that you want to get always is the one at the top. The Dodgers got that, so always a good night when that happens. So let's not waste any more time. Let's get right to it, and let's take a trip down on the farm. So we have a lot of action to get to down on the farm. Of course, Great Lakes, the high A level team for the Dodgers, did not play last night. But boy, did Rancho play. They racked up a ton of hits. You're seeing Joe Vetrano right here. Joe Vetrano has gotten very hot as of late for the Rancho Cucamonga Quakes. We talk about how he is a big dude, but that he has lower exit launch angles, I should say. So here you're seeing two really hard hit ground balls. Both of those ground balls likely are over 100 miles an hour as they came off of his bat, but it's really good to see Joe Vetrano get the bat going. He has multiple hit games. He has like three multiple hit games in his last six. I actually have not looked that up, but it's something like that. So Joe Vetrano getting the swing going, getting in a groove. When him and Jake Geloff get things going on the corners, it's a lot of fun to watch. So you have two big-time power guys in the middle of your lineup, and then you have guys like Gerald Perez that we're going to talk about today that is fast and gathers a lot of hits. Then obviously Josue De Paula, Zaire Hope, and then Kenny George, and then Jesus Calise, guys that can gather a bunch of hits. So this is one of the funnest teams in the minor leagues to follow. Joe Vetrano, he's been one of the funner hitters to follow as of late. So good job, Big Joe. So here is Jake Geloff. Guess what? Ball goes to right field too, and he actually does get the ball in the air a lot. Hey, we've talked a lot about Austin Gauthier and how he stays inside the baseball. We're actually going to feature him today again. As well, imagine Austin Gauthier and his ability. Look at that, how he stays inside, goes right center there. Imagine having Austin Gauthier, but with the power of Jake Geloff. That's what you got going here, man. That's why I'm so high on this guy. Again, I know the level of play. He probably at times was facing better pitchers in the ACC in terms of guys that could execute than he is at single A here with Rancho. I mean, you got guys that can throw the ball through the roof, but they're not a lot of times good enough to pitch to a scouting report. So again, I get it. He's in single A. You don't get too excited about that aspect of it, but what you do get excited about are the skills and the strength that he possesses. I just don't see anywhere when you look at how compact that swing. I mean, let's watch that again and back that up and let's actually slow that down so we can see a good look at Jake Geloff and why I am just so high on him. I mean, look, just put the leg up, put it back down, and from right here, watch the head never move, and he just rotates right around the middle of his body and just makes it really simple. I just don't see anything that will ever go wrong with that swing. I don't see a big prolonged slump in that swing, and I see a lot of power and a lot of opposite field contact. So Jake Geloff, another good night for him last night. So this is the guy right here that I should have highlighted before now. This is Gerald Perez. And hey, man, he has played really, really, really well as of late. As a matter of fact, much like Jake Gelhoff. So the Quakes have the California Player of the Week, and back-to-back weeks, Jedal Perez was the California League Player of the Week this last week for his hot hitting. He got two more hits last night. The thing about him, just like Gelhoff, I mean, it's almost like a carbon copy, is just how simple his swing is.
Driving in a
right
run.
Here. Look how simple that is. Just right down to the baseball, and really short, really compact. But the thing about him is he is very, very, very strong. And he's fast. He's not stealing a whole lot of bases right now. Kind of like a Jose Ramos type situation, to where you do have great speed. You're going to impact the game with your speed on the base pass, but it's not necessarily going to be through stolen bases. So I should have highlighted Jedal Perez before now, because he has been simply fantastic. And I know Bruce Koontz has him in his Dodgers top 30. That's why, honestly, we cover the MLB Pipeline Dodgers top 30, and we do like that list. But if you're actually going to look for a top 30 prospect list, that would be the most accurate. It would absolutely, no question about it, be Bruce Koontz Dodgers top 30 prospects list. And I know Jedal Perez is in his list. So, hey, keep your antennas up. We will talk more about him as the summer goes on. So, super exciting between Kendall George and Josue De Paula. You really got to see exactly what everybody is so excited about them about. You got to see Kendall George open it up from first to third. You just saw that on a Jake Gelhoff and a Joe Vetrano hit. You got to see him just spike one into left field and be that pesky inside the ball, hit the ball where it's pitched, and hit line drives all over the field type hitter. And then you got to see this. Watch this. Just beats the pitcher to the back. Look at that speed right there. That is a routine ground ball to the first baseman that Kendall George was safe on, because he beat the pitcher to the bag. And there's another that just shoots it to left field. So when you're talking about a first baseman that just fielded a routine ground, he didn't bobble it. He just kind of took his time, a little bit too much time, the same amount of time that he always does to flip the ball to the pitcher. Not with Kenny George, not with that 7,000 grade speed that he brings to the plate. So you got to see a little bit of everything that makes him such an exciting prospect. Look at that speed. So this was the most impressed I have been with Josue De Paula since I have actually been watching him. And the reason is, you're getting ready to see him turn on a double. And that double that he turns on, that you're getting ready to see, is the most impressive bat speed right there. Bam. Man, I'm not sure I've seen him turn on one like that before. That right there that makes you go, oh yeah, that's Josue De Paula. Right there, that a boy. So that bat speed, the exit velo, which was over 100 miles an hour, right there too, man. Two in a row. You can see he's confident. It's amazing what confidence can do for you. He's swinging the bat with a whole lot of confidence. He's free, and right there when he's swinging it like that. Welcome to 2024, Josue De Paula, because he is very, very, very impressive. Those two hits there, and then he does that right there. He's going to gather a lot of hits, because he puts the ball in play and he hits the ball hard. But those two doubles you just saw, easily for me, the most impressed I have been watching him to this point in the season. So moving all the way up to Double A, because High A Great Lakes did not play last night. This is sweet swinging Brandon Lewis, a corner infielder. Kind of reminds me of a Bob Horner type mold. Good feet, good arm. It's just kind of soft hands. Stays inside the baseball very well. Last couple of years, let's watch this right here. Nice swing right here. See how he just puts his foot up, puts it back down. He struggled offensively last year. A local boy, went to L.A. Pierce and then UC Irvine. But look at that power. Remember in 29, I love how he tilts out over the plate and gets that ball in the air. Kind of a Andy Pawhead setup, if you will. So very athletic for Brandon Lewis. Struggled the last couple of years, trying to get it going. Hey, he's like up to 256. He's starting to hit home runs. When he does, Brandon Lewis, there's a reason why the Dodgers have him around. Remember, he hit the most amount of home runs per at bat in 2021. This is a guy that can absolutely do damage. So what I want you to remember about Brandon Lewis, okay, can he bounce back? And when he does, can he create consistency? Because if he does all those things, This is a guy that can gather a bunch of hits because he stays inside the ball, goes the other way with it, and then also he can hit a bunch of big flies, Brandon Lewis. So from Jake Geloff, who does a great job of hitting the ball the other way, to that right there. I got to see a opposite field hit with two outs the other night in Wichita that scored two runs. That absolutely is Austin Gauthier to a T right there. Man, I tell you what, he started out slow in 2024, so when you start out slow, you tend to go back to what's always made you a great player. What has always made Austin Gauthier a great player? That right there. Just keeping your hands inside the ball, getting the barrel to it, inside outing that ball to right field. Who does that remind you of? His childhood hero, Derek Jeter. That's who he grew up idolizing. Of course, he went to Hofstra in New York. He's originally from Virginia. And you can see a lot of Derek Jeter in that swing, in the way that he stays inside the ball and inside outs that pitch. So opposite field machine, Austin Gauthier. He has hits in four of his last five games. And last night was his third multi-hit game in the last four that he has played. And I got to see one of them. So that was super exciting and super fun getting to see Austin Gauthier play. Okay, Sal Renlau, count me in on this guy as a pitcher. I mentioned on the last podcast, just his size is imposing. No way that he's 200 pounds. Look at the movement on that ball, and that is a firm fastball that I think he's going to sit around 95, 96, and it has great carry. That right there. I can't wait to see his spin rates, because I'm telling you, his spin rates are good. Just watching how the ball carries the bottom of the zone, I promise you his spin rates are good. And look at that slider right there. So he has a really nice slider. And I just kind of wanted to cover him again because he had another really nice outing last night. And I just wanted to make sure that he stays on your radar, because Sal Renlau, to me, is one of the most impressive players in the system. Look at that changeup. That is dirty right there. So far, one of the most excited players, one of the players that I am the most excited about in the system for the Dodgers as we start 2024. So wanted to cover him again. And as we stay at the AA level, again, I know I started with Blake Treinen and Miguel Vargas, jumped up to AAA. I got ahead of myself. But again, we're going back to AA Tulsa, and this is the Maytag Jack Dreyer. And what I wanted to point out about him, I've covered him a couple of times. We're not going to talk about his stuff or any of that. What we are going to talk about, though, is when I talked to him, you can go back to my interview that I have with him. One of the things that I asked him is, hey, what velo do you think that you have the ability to sit at? He said, I think I could easily sit at 96 miles an hour. 96 right there from Jack Dreyer. Well, guess what he was hitting last night? Yep, you guessed it. Jack Dreyer was hitting 96 last night. So, yeah, there you go, man. Hey, this is a guy, you talk about being excited about a relief pitcher in the system. You couldn't get more excited than Dodgers people, me, everybody who watches this organization and prospects. You couldn't get more excited about a prospect than you should be about Jack Dreyer, because he's carrying the bottom of the zone like that. And then he has that fastball that's hitting 96. You know, he was hurt forever, went to Iowa, had the Tommy John, had all the injuries, didn't pitch a lot, got let off the leash last year, and man, has he turned into an absolute animal. So definitely put Jack Dreyer, no, don't put him on your radar, put Jack Dreyer at the top of your list as far as guys that you're excited about, because he has the big curveball, the 96 mile an hour fastball, the fastball that is reaching the goal he set for himself at 96. Unbelievable competitor. He has the single game record for strikeouts in a state championship game in the state of Iowa. His dad played pitched in the major league level as well, actually pitched with Nolan Ryan. There is nothing not to like about Jack Dreyer. We're going to move now to the slow pitch softball game that was a game last night in Albuquerque. Hey, if you have any questions whatsoever as to why the Dodgers moved their AAA team out of Albuquerque, last night's game is all you need to see. The Dodgers got down the AAA Oklahoma City Baseball Club got down 12-3 and stormed back, and I believe won 19-16. It was not real baseball. I mean, you get in that elevation. I know Nabil Kreismat, he was the starter. Welcome to the PCL with all these high elevations, Nabil. When you're a guy that has to move the ball and turn the ball and locate, being in those elevations is an absolute nightmare. So Nabil Kreismat, it was a rough night for him. needless to say. But Miguel Vargas, good to see him. The thing about that is, as you saw that, the thing that's impressive, that it's about the process for him, right? Because we know the results in AAA have always been good. Watch him pull his hands inside this ball in the inner half, and boom, right there, he got to the inside pitch. That's the important part of what Miguel Vargas did right there. Congratulations to him, as well as he just became an American citizen. So all things are on the up and up for Miguel Vargas. It was a bumpy re-entry. Blake Treinen was back on the bump last night, and boy, don't you know, the Dodgers need him desperately. Of course, he didn't have, results-wise, a good outing last night. He gave up 3 runs in a third of an inning, but I tell you all the time, it looked that slider right there, he's just trying to execute pitches. He's trying to get the feel back for them. I guarantee he doesn't even know who the hitters are. He doesn't know what the game plans are. He's just up there in elevation like Colorado. And, hey, I talked to Mark Washington about this last week, and he mentioned, you know, your breaking stuff just doesn't break. It doesn't feel the same. So a tough re-entry in Albuquerque for Blake Treinen for the environment's sake. And then just there's the fastball, too. Of course, when you get behind the count 3-1, professional hitters are going to sit on a fastball. I'm sure he's not letting that fastball loose like he will here in a month or so if he can stay healthy. So don't worry about the results. What you need to do is just know that Blake Treinen is back throwing. That is a good thing. It is all good to say that Blake Treinen is back. No doubt about that. So there's nothing negative about all of that. And the results eventually will come as long as he can stay healthy. And he stayed healthy through last night. So that's the big deal. Blake Treinen is back for the Dodgers. Hunter Fiducia, man. How about this? This is why I love covering minor league baseball, because you see something every day that you've never seen before. Of course, we've talked a lot about Hunter Fiducia. I love that sweet swing. Him and Trey Sweeney kind of have similar swings in the way they just keep the barrel in the zone for such a long time, which is why he can hit velo so well, because the ball, his barrel's in the zone for so long, he doesn't have to be perfect on his timing right now, right? Well, we know all about that. We've talked about all that many different times with Hunter Fiducia. So what do I want to talk about today in today's Down the Farm segment about him? This is so minor league, okay? He came to the plate up to bat in the sixth inning, and he did not have a hit on the night yet. 2 innings later in the eighth inning, he came to the plate, and all he needed was a home run for the cycle. How about that? Hunter Fiducia, simply fantastic catcher in the organization, good hitter. He's hitting .302 on the year, .967. Going to say it like we say it all the time. Just needs opportunity. Wanted to put Hunter Fiducia and Trey Sweeney back to back. Look at this, almost the exact same swing, right? I mean, I love those left-handed swings. Sweeney had 3 hits last night for Triple A Oklahoma City. What you're seeing right here is his 6th double on the season, and Trey Sweeney has hits in 4 games in a row and 6 out of his last 7. And also, Trey Sweeney is 6 for his last 14. So what you need to know about Trey Sweeney, got off to a little bit of a slow start, but he is absolutely heating up, and he's a guy I get questions about every single day with Gavin Lux, the announcement the other day, 150 at-bats. So if you're not sold that Gavin Lux is going to get it figured out, is Trey Sweeney one of the guys the Dodgers would promote? I would guess they would go trade deadline, go get a Willy Adames and fix it from that perspective. I couldn't imagine that you put Gavin Lux on the shelf for what would be, in essence, Of course, we all know how good Trey Sweeney is, but he doesn't have any major league experience. So no doubt, especially at that point, it would be an experiment. You would have to have a supreme amount of confidence in a guy to say, hey, we're going to bring him up and say that he's the answer at shortstop versus, you know, hey, you've kept all of your trade pieces. Are you going to choose Trey Sweeney over a veteran that has a track record? So let me ask you this, and I don't mean this to be negative towards Trey Sweeney or anything, because I think you guys know, if you follow Dodgers Daily, how much I really like his game and especially the way he swings the bat. But let me ask you this. How do the Dodgers operate? If I were to ask you, are they going to put Trey Sweeney in that lineup and make him the everyday shortstop, or are they going to go get Willy Adames or a veteran shortstop instead? Which one do you think the Dodgers would do? Which one have they done and shown in the past? Of course, they did play Trey Sweeney, Corey Seager in 2015. I get all that. But he had been in the system for a while and all that. But which one do you think the Dodgers would do? I would say, Tracker would say, they would probably go get a trade piece shortstop and fill a spot from that position, but they might not. And that, hey, it may be where Trey Sweeney ends up just kind of like Andy Páez did, plays so well that you can't deny him too. So, hey, definitely kept checking in on the Down the Farm segments for Trey Sweeney. Super exciting young prospect. So there you have it. There's our show for you today. Man, it was filled full of some great action. Great Lakes, I'm sure, will have a doubleheader to make up for their postponed games last night. I'm sure Austin Brubaker was not happy that he didn't get to see his Great Lakes team play last night. I know Austin's been very busy as of late. We'll get him back in here. He went and saw family last week in Detroit. So, hey, we miss you, Austin. Hope you can make it back real soon. I hope everybody out there in Dodgers Daily Land enjoyed today's show. Hey, make sure and tune in to our next live show and tune in to our daily shows. Hope you enjoyed the high velo for Justin Robleski yesterday as well. I want to appreciate everybody who tunes into all of those features that we have on here on Dodgers Daily. So again, thank you for tuning in, and go Dodgers!